Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, Sports City. Welcome back to the Sunday Morning Brunch. We are back in the building. A very interesting weekend, as a lot of things have come to. A very interesting Saturday, to say the least. We had some horse racing going on, but definitely these conference finals in both sports, in the NHL, in the NBA, are taking some very interesting turns. I hope people are ready. Ana took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
Ow. Welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark the Moses and TP Timeless.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, and 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with this chef. And I'm going to do my best to put together a real brunch, man. I'm going to try to go across the board. A lot of these sports, a lot of interesting stuff happened this weekend. And I'm still nerve-rattled. I'm still at the edge of my seat, and people know why. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, we have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm good.
Okay, we get short responses this morning. That's okay. But I know how to work through these scenarios. So now, as we jump into the brunch, like I said, the conference finals are here, both Eastern and Western, both NHL and NBA, and both have taken some interesting turns where both of the NHL conference finals are notched up at 2-2. St. Louis and San Jose are tied up, and the Lightning and the Penguins are tied up, in which last night the Cleveland Cavaliers went to Toronto and tried to get that game won out, despite all the situation that happened before the game in Canada with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Toronto showed fight in pulling that game off and winning game three, which that was a must-win situation in an interesting form. So we'll try to go across the board, get to those. Fortunately, Sports City was some boxing events. I wanted to try to see what was up with Mr. Silver, but he might not be here, but we'll try and do the best that we can. So also in the MLB world, too, we had a flirt with a no-hitter out there in Boston, too. Is this Boston Red Sox team for real? That's a question that I do pose as well, to see if they can win the AL East. I see this team doing damage in that division right now. Clicking on all cylinders, this is scary. This is scary for the Boston Red Sox, but we'll get to it. So, Tommy, where would you like to start? Whether the diamond, the ice, hardwood, where would you like to go?
Wherever, it doesn't really matter. I mean, after what I watched last night with my Nationals, I'm so aggravated right now, it's not even funny.
So this was a series that we actually talked about, that you guys, playing a familiar foe, if you will. Your thoughts on how these guys are, I don't want to say up and down, because they're actually playing great baseball this season, but, unfortunately, they actually let you down as of yesterday. Your thoughts on how they played, or we could venture throughout the the diamond atmosphere. We could go to that win the Marlins pulled off, or we could go somewhere else.
I just don't understand Jason Worth at times. I mean, there's times he shows up, Jason Worth is fine. Then there's games like last night, top of the ninth, Bryce does his job, he gets on base. Daniel Murphy does his job, he brings him, gets another hit, brings him around. Ramos comes up for a pinch hit, does his job, brings in. Ball game, it looks like we're going to come back and pull one out. bases loaded. I'm thinking, I look at my wife and I say, I like our chances. Danny Espinosa's come up. Danny will put a ball in play. Ball game goes high, at least go to the ninth, bottom of the ninth. Should go more. There's bases loaded, no outs. We should at least get two chances. Hopefully, Papelbon doesn't blow it. And wrong. We pitch hit for Jason Wirth. I'm thinking, we'll at least tie this up. Strike one. I would have swung at a double play ball. Second pitch, right down the middle. And Jason Wirth just standing there and looks at it. I'm thinking, right then and there, I look and I say, Miami's going to get out of this shit lucky. Jose Fernandez is going to beat us again. Jason Wirth swings at two pitches in the dirt. Now, this is what aggravates me, Sports City, about Jason Wirth. He'll stand there and look at two pitches down the middle that he could put in play. Then swing a pitch in the dirt. He hits the pitch to the third baseman for a double play. The word, the guy catches the ball, tags third, throws the ball home, and they tag Daniel Murphy. I knew right then and there it was over. I do not understand it sometimes. Jason Wirth, if he starts, he's fine. As long as you put Jason Wirth hitting second, it seems like anymore. I don't understand what goes through Wirth's mind sometimes, and Ryan Zimmer in the same damn way. And Ty, I'll piss off your Twins too, because ever since the Twins series, Bryce has not been the same. They put a blueprint out. Hey, throw the ball outside on Bryce. Because his batting average and home runs and RBIs ever since that Twins series has fallen downhill big time.
Now here's the thing about Bryce Harper. He's still dangerous. You still got to respect him at the plate. But, I mean, is it fair that you put a lot of the pressure on a guy like Wirth? Unexpectedly, it's his time at the plate. They're hoping that he produces, no doubt. But this is a Marlins team that's different. This is a Marlins team that knows that they have to try and come and knock you guys off to get you guys back down to earth. You guys are still at the top of the division. This is a must-win situation for them to pull this off. Unfortunately, you know, the outcome wasn't there. Even though this was a one-run game, I definitely think that the Nationals were definitely in position to win the game. And Bryce Harper, he batted 500 yesterday, 2-for-4. He also had a run scored as well. So, I mean, he was one of the two runs that was scored yesterday. So, I don't know how much of this that we could throw at these guys. I think this is a full team effort. Like, there are players that did not produce yesterday as well for the Nationals. So we can actually throw some at some of the people here.
I mean, we helped Jose Fernandez last night. Helped him. There were so many counts in this game that went 3-2. And he would have walked us. No, we swing the ball high. We swing at the balls in the dirt. We'll swing at a slider that's in the other batter box. I mean, I do not understand this team sometimes. I really do not. Then we play against, say, like when we played against the Cubs and Arrieta plays, we hit Arrieta all over the damn ballpark. Should have beat him. It wouldn't have been for the bullpen. The only thing that I'm happy about so far is that the Phillies are losing to the Braves. So thank you, Atlanta, for finally showing up and playing.
And Adam, right now, from Friday to now, you guys split with the Marlins. This is the rubber match as of today, this afternoon. So, you guys are in Florida, but if there's still anybody there, you guys are sitting at the top of the division, a game and a half above the Mets. So, I feel like anything can happen. You guys did what you needed to do, at least get in the first game, or one of the first two games to not, you know, fall too much in the chain of command in the NLE. You guys are playing good ball. You can't be too mad. You can't win every game. Say it again?
We got the Mets coming in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
and they're going to be pretty much pissed. Well, no, because they actually took that last series against you. No, you guys won that last series.
Oh, we did. Two games to
one. Right. So they, like I was about to say, they should be pretty pissed on how things went down while they were in New York against you guys. So they'll be coming in fired up, too. Hopefully you guys are up for that challenge to go up against a Mets team that is a game and a half behind you, depending on how things do pan out this afternoon.
We got Scherzer tonight pitching for us today. So I'm hoping DeGrom, or not DeGrom, I'm hoping the Mets have what's his name pitching tonight so we miss him. Because last reports I saw, Matt Harvey would pitch tomorrow or Tuesday. So that would mean we've missed their one pitcher that, I'm sorry, probably one of the best they've got on the, I can't think of his name right now, tall guy, blonde hair. They call him Thorn or whatever hell his nickname is.
Right, Syndergaard or something like that.
Yeah, Syndergaard, that's his name, thanks. I'm hoping
yeah.
we miss him and he pitches tonight, today for him. Because I'm telling you, he may be the best pitcher they've got on their bullpen. You think about him 6, what is that, what they say, 6'7", 6'8", and he throws 94, 95, sometimes 97 or harder. You think about he comes leaning at you throwing that ball. He's already on top of it. So that ball's going to actually go look like 115, 110. It comes up on you so quick. Dude's a beast. I'm going to tell you that right now. He may be the best pitcher they've got on their staff.
And that's debatable, but so far out of the gate, yet I do agree with you. So you guys have Scherzer going today, and to Monday you guys deal with Cologne, Harvey, and Matt. That's how the rotation goes. So you guys got Gonzalo Strasburg.
Like it. So Strasburg I faced
it and Harvey hasn't been good out the gate. That I mean, you still got to respect him, but he hasn't had his stuff. And that's the question that the Mets organization has had is can he get his mojo back, especially from the season that he had last year?
I still say they should have set him down last year. Just like we did Strasburg. And look what it's done for Strasburg. He's come back and he's played well.
Yeah, but Strasburg's been in and out of that lineup anyway, trying to stay healthy, man. That's been the hang-up on him, is if he could stay up there and worry about issues, injuries, things of that nature. So, but Strasburg's undefeated right now. I don't let me knock on wood before I, you know, end up jinxing this situation. But he's been doing well too. But like I said, this ain't gonna be no easy walk in the park. You're in your division; they're all chasing you. You got a bullseye on your back, so it ain't like you guys could dodge bullets. You guys cannot dodge bullets. You guys got to take these things as they come and be successful. That's the best way to have to look at that.
Yep. But you get opportunities to score runs, you've got to score them.
Well, that's true, too. That is true, also.
And you get bases loaded, no outs, you've got to score. Got to.
I mean, things happen, Tommy. Like things do happen. I mean, I hate to say it, like people strike out, pop up. But that stuff happens. I can't even sit up here and talk with a sponsor. I've seen the Twins leave men on base a lot, and lose games by one run. So I understand your frustration. The Twins are one of the worst teams in the league right now doing that, even though they picked up a win yesterday. But
should you bring up the Twins, and then we can move on to whatever. What do you think about that Central? Because it looks
about
like
who?
The White Sox are starting this. The White Sox are starting to slide back down. Detroit's starting to heat up. Of course, the White Sox, I believe they're playing Kansas City, correct? So, what's your feeling about
that?
They
just lost that game at home to the Royals as well, too. And the Royals are, I mean, this division is one of the toughest divisions in baseball, man. I mean, everybody you're going to play is going to give you a tough game. I still think the White Sox are a team that you still got to worry about just because of the lineup and the chip that they have on their shoulder with everything that we've actually spilled into earlier this season with everything that was going on with players leaving, so on and so forth. And them as well, they are being seen and playing strong baseball at this point. They didn't even put up a good amount of runs. They had one run yesterday against the Royals where I still think that this is anybody's division. Welcoming the White Sox. But looking at the division, you still have the championship Royals team. You still have to worry about a team like Chicago. I'm not really pegged on what the Twins are going to do in this division. They got me so frustrated, upset, it's not funny. With them struggling to get to 15 wins is an understatement. But I don't know. You know, I truly don't know what can lie within the realms of this AL Central. What are your thoughts on teams in this division that could actually turn this thing around? Like you said, Detroit is trying to turn this around. They're still under 500. Verlander actually picked up a big win up against none other than the Minnesota Twins, but getting his mojo back as well. I mean, do you think these guys could do it? Cabrera came up with a big home run. I think it was yesterday or the day before he had two home runs in the game. Is Miguel trying to get back into that conversation of being one of the best hitters in baseball? I don't even think he walked away from it. I just think that he wasn't in the game due to injury last year. It's probably why people oversee what he brings to the game as well.
Yeah, Detroit started to get their mojo, and I'd be careful. I mean, Verlander, I believe it was when you brought up the Twins game they played, he got his career 2,000 strikeouts. Think about that, 2,000 strikeouts. Wow. I really still – the White Sox have shocked me. They've surprised me. Congratulations. Hey, you're playing good. But you better start turning it back up because Kansas City's starting to heat up. Detroit's starting to heat. This could come down to being like the division we just talked about, but I still look for Detroit to win this division. I really do.
Really?
Detroit started out slow. If they can get that bullpen fixed, because that's Detroit's problem, is that bullpen. Detroit actually should have beat the Nationals in a series when we played them. They had us beat, and their bullpen collapsed it.
Listen to this. Detroit is in fourth, two games under 500, right? They're 4.5 back from Chicago, which they could catch them if Chicago continues to have questionable output in these matchups. Cleveland is right behind them, with only 18 losses on the season, but they're a game and a half back due to the games that they played. They haven't played as many games as Chicago at this point. And the Royals are sitting right there, too. This division is pretty interesting right now. The Indians are playing strong ball, too, both home and away.
The Indians are struggling right now in Boston.
Well, that's the team I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Boston in general. Boston is playing, you know, outside of their scale. Well, I can't say outside of their scale because they've been here before. But we were actually debating this earlier this year on how the division would look in the AL East. But knowing that they are playing them in Fenway, that's not an easy place for them to win. There's a lot of pressure that mystique out there in Boston is big for the Indians to go in there and be successful. But, I mean, your thoughts on this Indian team, let alone they did just lose big up against Boston yesterday. I mean, is this a situation where Boston is just cleaning up everybody that they're going up against, knowing how big of a season this is here in 2016?
Yeah, Cleveland surprised me too so far. I mean, Cleveland started out slow, then they picked it up and was actually beating almost everybody. I mean, they went through Cincinnati like it wasn't nothing. And I bet you Cincinnati wishes they still had Dusty Baker, because they ain't done nothing since they got rid of that man. Cleveland, I mean, they were rolling until they got to Boston and everything. Boston, I'm telling you.
They split, though. They got a win and they lost one.
Boston's not a bad ball club, I'm going to tell you. They're turning it around. In that Bradley, I didn't see if he got a hit last night. But he did have a 25 game hitting streak. I'm telling you, Baltimore better keep it rolling, because if not, I could see Boston putting up a 4 or 5 game winning or lead in this division. So Baltimore better keep it rolling, and Buck better keep them focus. I'm telling you, Toronto, New York cannot keep playing like they are. They're going to turn this around too, I think.
And it's funny that you bring up the Twins because we're in a four-gamer up against Toronto where they got the first two. We stopped that five-game losing streak we were on. Hopefully we can start up a new winning streak. So hopefully we can just get two. But that pitcher staff has been crazy, and the crazier part about this, we just got Paul Molitor there last year, and they're already talking about seeing if he's going to leave the organization after 1 year of not having good play. This is the discussion that they're having. Like, great. So –
aggravates me. See, that shit, that right there aggravates me. Just because you've been there for a year, well, might as well say 2 years now.
Right.
He did well last year. He turned it around. And then turn around, he has a bad start this year. And I haven't watched a lot of Twins games. I did watch Twin Course when he played my Nationals. You're also young ball club. You all need to keep him there for a couple of years. You're about, I give you 2 years away, you're going to be a very good ball club. Very good ball club in Minnesota. You're young.
Yeah, and the older guy out of all of them is Joe Mauer, and the money that they've given him, he has to show up, man. And I feel like the Twins organization is doing a lot trying to put batters, like big batters in the lineup. And I, you know, traditionally going back to the old school way of how we've seen it before run with, you know, powerhouse teams like the Indians when they had Albert Bell and company, or looking at how the Yankees have been for, you know, nearly a decade when they had their run and having a loaded lineup, knowing that they have Park, they have Sano, Dozier hasn't been able to produce as he has, but you have guys like Nunez as well. They had a big home run day yesterday. I feel like they're trying to put a lot of these pieces together, and it hasn't actually turned off the way that they want to. Now, I'm not saying it's like I want to see Molitor go, because Paul Molitor has been a big name for the Twins organization before he became a skipper. But you get rid of Gardy and Gardenhire and bring him back. I mean, what do you expect? I feel like there's more pressure than ever on Molitor to perform right now, and he's not getting it from more than less. I'm looking at the pitcher staff. These guys all give up runs big against a lot of teams. I hate to say it, but the bet would be to bet against the Twins. The Twins and the Braves are the team to take. Like, they can't slow anybody down in the game. Nobody. Okay, there was another matchup yesterday that I did want to get into, where the San Francisco Giants went up against the Cubs, in which they had an interesting matchup. Kane came back on the field as well. Had a big hit yesterday. He was 0-46 and came up with a big hit center field for the team. But the Giants are playing some good ball as of now, and this is actually a team that Tommy hit on the other day, saying San Francisco could be the team to beat in that division, and it came true up against the hot Chicago Cubs, winning 5-3. Kane pulling this off up against John Lester as well, a pitcher that I like for his first win of the season. Your thoughts on the Giants actually getting a game up against the Cubs yesterday?
The Cubs are hit. They're starting to fall back because they lost their last. Besides, they split with Chicago, so Chicago split with the Giants so far. But they lost three, four straight before that. I mean, they beat Milwaukee, but before that, Milwaukee beat them. The Cubs are starting to fall back. They're still ahead, and they'll win that division like I picked them when we did the early baseball show. They'll win that division because St. Louis isn't really, but San Francisco, I'm telling you, they're going to get hot. They're going to put a distance on that division. San Diego's done. Count them, they're finished. Arizona, I have no clue what to think of them. I mean, Arizona's up 1 minute. They go here, they'll play here, and they'll do well. Then they'll come back and they'll lose three or four straight, and you're like, wait a minute, what? The Dodgers, The Dodgers is another one I can't get. 1 minute they play well, next minute I don't know. I really think they did Don Mattingly dirty. I think they should have kept him there, but organization didn't think so. So whatever. But this is the Giants' division to win. With the pitching staff they got, the offense, this is their division to win if they want it.
Now, this is a big matchup for them tonight up against the Cubs, in which this is the rubber match pivotal who wants the series situation, in which if they win this game, they actually get to, you know, build a little more leeway within the division with the Rockies being right behind them. And I'm one of the people that were at the beginning of the season saying I felt like the Rockies were going to have to search and find themselves this season. They have actually been playing interesting ball at this point, playing 500, sitting in the rear view for the Giants right now. But if the Giants can pick up a win against the Cubs at home, steal the series, I think not only with them gaining a half a game or more, depending how the rest of the division shakes out for the evening, but I think this gives them confidence of going up against one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball right now. Even though the Cubs have lost, you know, an interesting amount of games, I mean, losing a series to the Brewers and, you know, also picking up a loss against Pittsburgh, even though they won that series as well, they are coming back down to earth, and reality is striking. But, your thoughts on this game, at least coming up with Bumgarner going up against that Cubs roster as well.
I know I will be watching it tonight at 8 o'clock. I know what you'll be watching at 8 o'clock, so I'll let you know how that goes. I'm very interested in watching this Giants-Cubs game at 8. I'm watching this game.
Not now. Don't tell them what I'm doing at 8 o'clock. Not now. I'm cooking.
But I really want to see what Bumgarner can do on this ball game. I really do. I was hoping I could watch this whole series. I couldn't. It was on Fox. The game last night with the Nationals game was on Fox. And, of course, it's whatever regional you lived in, that's what game you got. But, yeah. This actually could be a playoff game. This could actually be the National League Championship. It all depends on how – I'm not saying it will be, because it all depends on what my Nationals do. You could be seeing a playoff game. This is going to be fun.
Okay, now, I was already flirting with this situation, and I'm trying to sit on it as much as I can, but I can't any longer. Your thoughts on this Boston Red Sox team? I mean, just like we said, Cleveland went in there and got beat badly, 9-1, in which the Bradley situation, he extends his hitting streak to 26 games. Is this, like I said earlier this week, is this a situation where this roster is trying to do it for Poppy? Trying to get the best effort and see how far he can get this Red Sox team to a postseason, try and get another potential World Series run going. I mean, your thoughts on this Red Sox team? They are playing great ball at this point in time.
Boston's for real. That's why I said earlier, Baltimore better keep it rolling and better keep up, because if not, watch out, Boston. They play in a perfect ballpark. I mean, that is actually one ballpark before I die I want to get to and watch the game in Fenway Park. Everybody has a bucket list. Well, that's on my bucket list, to get to Fenway Park and watch a game. I mean, and Bradley's got another hit. I mean, in that ballpark, he can continue that, because all he's got to do is hit. All you can do is try to pull that ball and hit it down off that wall. Boston, I'm telling you, they could really, really win this division.
That's just like I said. I mean, they got a game. They're a game behind Baltimore, which Baltimore's still going to be tough. It ain't going to be easy to catch them. Or if they do end up tying this thing up, winning today, Baltimore loses, I think these two will kind of be going back and forth as the Yankees try to warm back up, and if the Blue Jays could get back in this thing, and if the Rays could stay somewhat consistent, then this division will definitely be tough. But the way the Red Sox are playing, you know, nobody's really injured. You know what I mean? Like I said, these are the last. This is the farewell tour for Poppy as well. Like I feel like this team is trying to put it together to send him off properly, because he helped bring that World Series to them in 2004. So I think more than ever, you get guys like Bradley in the middle of the lineup doing work for these guys, and he's not even the one that they're consistently worried about, but they have to now because he's smoking hot. He's smoking hot and hitting the ball
Bradley
as well.
Hitting
not like,
seventh in this lineup.
Say that again?
Bradley's hitting seventh in this lineup.
Right.
Hitting seventh, and he has a 26-game hitting streak. You can't move him up. I've seen people say move him up. No. Leave him where he is at. Because you move him up and he goes over,
mess him up.
Then what? You ruin. You leave him where he is at. He is comfortable. He is steady. Leave him where he is at.
Hey, fair enough. Anything else that you want to talk diamond-wise with some of the matches that they had yesterday? To say the least bit, you had the Rangers pull one off. I do remember this one. An interesting one with the Orioles and the Angels. A player had got ejected for a strike call in the game where I could totally agree with the player that this was nonsense. The catcher caught the ball out of the dirt. He caught the ball out of the dirt, and the ump called strike three. They toss him. And then Trout gets up there, and the ump does the same thing. The catcher caught the ball out of the dirt, and he called a strike on Trout. Trout started yelling. Socia's looking at him like he can't be serious, and then Trout ended up swinging at something in the dirt and ended the game for him. But it was Baltimore, no less, too. So Baltimore actually leads, in this series, gets a win out there in L.A., up against the Angels. I don't know if you've seen the situation or how things are going with the strike call, but Weeders actually ends up getting a 3-run home run that made it all the difference in this matchup up against the Angels.
It was just the same umpire in, I guess it was New York with Poppy. I'm wondering.
I don't know if that was him, but I remember vividly that umpire with Poppy. If that's him, then they need to watch this, because he could be targeting teams, especially an Angels team that's struggling to get out of the hole. These guys are in the hole, and this Angels team is definitely interesting and has a good offense, but they haven't been able to put it together. They are losing an interesting amount of games this season as well. But if you see the strike call that he made in this game, I mean, the one that Trout saw, like, it was literally in the dirt. I mean, there was nothing that Trout could have done right there. I mean, you want him to swing at these pitches in the dirt, and it was just tough. It was tough for the Angels to try and get out of that situation. They're not performing. You got guys like Pujols, who I respect as a batter. He went 0-for yesterday. Pujols didn't perform, well, at least in the matchup yesterday, he didn't show up. But, so you didn't see the pitch. Wait till you see it, and then you'll see at least three pitches in the dirt where the catcher's glove is turned down, everything, and it was actually Escobar. Escobar was a player that was ejected. Literally, the ball was in the dirt. But no. The ball. Listen.
This though for Escobar's defense, as he was a National last year. He knows the strike zone. I see a couple times last year, he sat there and he would follow the ball and he'd shake his head at the ball. You could hear him. They actually put a mic on him last year. He knew it before the umpire did.
But if you see the pitch, it is in the dirt, like the glove is turned down and lit. There's no way that that's a strike. And I could clearly attest for him, in which he ended up striking out off of that and got thrown out. And the same thing happened to Trout, watching the same pitch come to him, nowhere near hittable, and he's calling them strikes. So this is a situation where you get officials that, you know, push their strength, I guess, throughout the manner of the game and make people take, you know, crazy swings or go after crazy pitches while the pitcher has the up and wherever he's placing this in the comfort zone for the umpire to call it a strike. But that those three pitches, there was two at Escobar and one at Trout, clearly. Terrible call. Okay. I do want to get into the conference finals, at least on the ice first, before I start getting into big things on the hardwood, because I know that that's a sweet situation that's going on in the hardwood. Now, in which things are tied up in both series. The Lightning and the Penguins are locked up at 2, in which they have a game tonight, game 5 in Pittsburgh, where things could go down. And San Jose and St. Louis are tied up too. This is getting interesting on the ice, where they actually pulled it off in San Jose. The Blues won 6-3 also. Your thoughts on both of these matchups. Which team do you think wants it? I mean, the Blues putting up six goals is pretty big, but also with Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh going back and forth, them actually trying to survive with everything that's happened to Ben Bishop, things of that nature. Your thoughts on both of these matchups?
They've been pretty good, entertaining. I still like San Jose and Pittsburgh to win it all, to play in the Stanley Cup Finals, even though I can't stand Pittsburgh. Everybody knows that. I hope I'm wrong with that and the Lightning could come in and win it. I would love to see that. Trust me. I can't stand Pittsburgh.
This is going to be a very interesting series, to say the least. Edge of my seat type of game, especially being in Pittsburgh. Who wants it more? And everybody's been winning on everybody's home ice, so that don't change nothing, man. They really and Pittsburgh has been like that for the past couple of years, letting people come into their building and stealing games. I know for sure watching the Blue Shirts do what they needed to do up against Pittsburgh last season. But if they want to get ahead, they have to use this home ice to their advantage, because if they lose this one, go back down to Tampa, I think Tampa could actually do you well and advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals. They still, I'm going to say this, if Tampa Bay steals this one tonight, they could go home and lock this up. I really do. I think they'll feel, knowing that they were there last year, losing to Chicago, having that chip on their shoulder, I think Tampa Bay knows what's ahead of them. And it's interesting to watch the teams go through that, losing the year before and still available in the postseason, knowing what it took and what would knock them off or getting to a final and losing and knowing how they fell short to you know, have that chip on their shoulder. I think this could actually help push Tampa Bay, especially in this matchup tonight. Pittsburgh cannot, you know, go in here lallygagging, which I know they won't. I know they know how important this Game 5 is, but this would definitely be an interesting matchup, to say the least bit.
But see, like I said, for Pittsburgh during the Capitals, when they were playing the Capitals, even the Rangers series, they've been playing for their playoffs live, even in the regular season. Because in everything, they've just kept that momentum.
So who do you think steps up big for Pittsburgh to keep the consistent play going, or they fall off? Do you think it's a situation where Sid the Kid has to, you know, wear that name and be the guy in this matchup? Or do you think Tampa Bay has that young talent that's been getting it done for them since last year into this year?
I look for it to be a team effort. Both ways. It's not going to be just one player or in all. It's going to be a team effort.
Okay. I'm trying to dance. I'm trying to dance, especially into this one. I can't go into the conference finals on the wood. See how you feel about this one. And I might as well, because I'm trying to stay away from it and try to talk about everything here at the brunch. But I do want to talk about what happened before the game, before we get into the game, and that was after the Cavaliers won Game 2 in Cleveland, They flew the next day to Toronto and could not get through customs. They were stuck in customs for a while before entering Toronto and getting there and doing what they had to do. I actually had a brief discussion with people, things of that nature, saying, well, do you think that they set it up to kind of, like, throw them off, things of that nature, you know, to have them fall short up against the Toronto Raptors team that looked like they were clearly outclassed in the first few games, but you get unexpected play from a team like a Toronto Raptors in this game. But, you know, just before the game, before I get to that game, your thoughts on them, the Cleveland Cavaliers being held up in customs, though?
This is a joke and a mockery of Flyers. Cleveland should blow them off the floor in Toronto and get this series over with so they don't have to go back up there and deal with this. This is a joke. I'm wondering if there's anything the organization can do for the airline company and all up there if they did do this on purpose. Because this is a joke.
I'm going to say, you know, I think they need to do whatever they could to help slow this down, because the way that the Cavs are winning up against them, beating them by clearly above 10 points, any advantage can help. Just keep LeBron 6'8 frame stuck in between the chair. Like let him get stiff. I don't know. Whatever you need to do, man. But it definitely did end up working out in their favor last night, in which I will start to spill into the game. Cleveland loses on the road up against the Raptors by 15, in which this is what stuns me about this game, stuns me. I don't know which one I could actually talk about first, but I could just include them together. And Kyrie and Kevin Love combined score 16 points, in which Kevin Love only had 3 points and played big minutes. It wasn't even like he was in foul trouble. Kevin Love was missing shots and wasn't even given the opportunity to shoot more than 10 shots. In last night's matchup, in which you had a situation where Kyrie was just missing shots as well. Before I do come to you, though, Tommy, I do have Mr. Simmons in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, it's a pleasure to be back in the building, man, on this rainy, rainy Sunday afternoon. Let me say this. Can we pick up, you know, where we had the ball off? I'm reading nothing. I get 0%. Into the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers are held up in customs. I don't think that Toronto Raptors had anything to do with it. I'm not buying that, you know. And I personally believe that this story, it's been leaked out, and this story is gaining traction because the Cleveland Cavaliers dropped the ball game. I'm not buying that. So, you know, things happen. Take it from somebody who's traveled in the National before. It happens, you know, and you really have to be able to, you know, put that behind you and go out and win a ball game. Keep in mind, like you alluded to before, Thomas, you know, this is a team that, you know, left the night before. You know, you really got a lot and account for things of this nature. These are professionals. This isn't the first time that, you know, teams have you know, had issues, you know, with customs going overseas and the standard third. So I'm not buying that. And, you know, to piggyback on what you're talking about, again, this is a team that's right along 10 straight. You know, I mean, they were bound to have a letdown game. Again, give shout out to the Toronto Raptors. They won a ball game on their own floor. You know, this is the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. Keep that in mind. You know, so this is a team that, again, has won some tough games on their home floor throughout these playoffs. This is a team that was the number two seed in the Eastern Conference throughout the regular season. This is a team that knows how to win on its own floor. You know, so, again, I'm not reading anything more into it than that. I'm not going to make snap decisions. I'm not going to make snap comments or snap, oh, no, did they figure out the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Cleveland Cavaliers are in a dog fight? No, they put that stuff to bed, man. You know, I'm not doing it. You know, they won a home game. You know, Drake is throwing shots at LeBron on Instagram. People are taking shots at LeBron for, you know, flopping and getting hit by an elbow with Tristan Thompson. And, you know, GoFundMe accounts are being set up for LeBron James' jaw. Like, put it to bed. You know, at the end of the day, the Cleveland Cavaliers are expected to come out, you know, and smack them in the face in game four, go home and win game five and get this series over in five, which everybody suspected was going to take place initially. So unless the Cleveland Cavaliers come out and drop game two, I mean the second game this week, then, again, put that stuff to bed. Don't give this story, don't give the Toronto Raptors more traction than they need. I mean, this is a former ball club who won a game on their own floor.
They won by 15 after getting blown out in those first two games. I don't understand it. They couldn't stop anything. They couldn't stop three-point shooting nor scores in the paint. LeBron was 7-for-7 at one point in the game down there in Cleveland. Now, all of a sudden, that offense goes by the wayside. That's what actually has me.
Keep in mind, Thomas. I mean, again, this is a team that rattled off 10 straight. I mean, they've been beating the brakes off of everybody in the Eastern Conference throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. Again, a broken clock tends to be right twice a day. You know, they were bound to have a letdown game. You know, this is the Cleveland Cavaliers team. They've awarded themselves an opportunity to kind of have a subpar game. You know, this was a subpar game. I mean, I'm not reading anything into it. I don't think anybody sitting here is going to pick the Toronto Raptors to upset the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think anybody here is going to pick that. I also don't believe anybody here, again, if you've been watching basketball, like I think we all have, I don't think anybody here, you know, accepted this to be a sweep. I mean, honestly, if we all said that,
No, I did. I expected this to be a sweep. The way that Cleveland was playing those first two games, Toronto didn't have any answers defensively at all.
They were getting dunks and layups and, you know, open three-point shots. But, again, I mean, when you play at that high of a level for so dang long throughout the playoffs, I mean, you're bound to have a letdown game. Golden State has a letdown game once every few weeks or once every couple of games, you know. And not to, you know, the freaking OKC Thunder, they have a letdown game every once in a while. I mean, it is bound to happen when you play at such a high level for so long and you literally award yourself the opportunity to have a letdown game. Now, again, if you ask LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Toronto and these guys, yeah, they want to go out and, you know, beat the brakes off of every opponent every damn game. And you ask Steve Kerr, you know, and Billy Donovan and KD and these guys, they want to go out there and beat the brakes off, you know, teams every time they get the opportunity. But in a game of sports, the other team does have, you know, stars. They do have players who have some pride in themselves. Hell, DeAndre Fox with 24 rebounds yesterday.
I was going to go there. Him by himself. Now, this is the one thing that, not to just say it like this, but I have to, that I hope that the Raptors could actually win another game. Because if they do win another game, they get Valanciunas Shunas back. At least if they tie the series up, they get Valanciunas Shunas back. They get another big body outside of Bianco. Because I'm going to be honest, as much as I respect Scola's game, I can't look at Scola to be there for him because he's not consistent enough. He's not consistent. But if they could get Valanciunas back, like I said, all of these ifs that I'm throwing out, they got to win game four. If they win game four, they put themselves back in position to go to Toronto, Valanciunas being healthy, having Biombo there and having, you know, Patterson, Scola, things of that nature as big, they get to do more damage with another name there.
It's very possible, but at the end of the day, man, I'm giving 0% chance that the Toronto Raptors, you know, pull off an upset the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, again, I'm talking this stuff to a, you know, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the upset, you know, would be in the Western Conference Finals before we even think about it being in the Eastern Conference, if there was going to ever be an upset with these remaining four teams. But I'm sure we'll get to the Western Conference Finals in a minute.
Right. And not to say, like, I'm sitting up here preaching that Toronto's going to win the series. Don't get that mistake, you know, confused by any means. I'm just saying the way that Cleveland came out, they have not lost all playoffs long. were beating the Raptors by, I'm just saying, more than 10 points in the first two games, which I feel like that's a clearly understatement, and coming into game three and losing by double digits as well. I still feel like if they could come out with that same pressure tomorrow, put that on, I doubt that Kyrie's going to miss that many shots, and I doubt that Kevin Love only score or hit a basket in a full game. If they get that recipe going, and they might as well just stick to the script and see if they can pull it off. But I'm not sitting there by any means saying that they're going to beat Cleveland and win this series. If they do, then this will be the shock of a lifetime to watch the Toronto Raptors, who didn't look like they had a shot in hell in this series. And now that this situation is arising, and then Biombo, I mean, 26 rebounds in the game, and he had that 26 rebound total in the third quarter. In the third quarter, he finished the game with a 26. I mean, they did what they could. Cleveland did try to clamp down and lock this game, you know, and try to steal it and cut the lead to five. But Toronto was determined. They were determined, and DeRozan showed up big, having a 32-point night also. Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup? Knowing that you're not big on these series and things of that nature, but for Toronto to steal one against Cleveland, your thoughts?
I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at all. It's more money for the NBA to suck out of these fans. But I think this series is over. Cleveland wins whenever the hell they play again. What is it, tomorrow, Tuesday, whenever? I don't know. I've been watching. Then they go back to Cleveland and it's over. They don't get, what, a week off because the other series in Western Conference is at least going six. Maybe seven. So they'll have a week off.
Okay, well, we got to wait and see how things do pan out in this Eastern Conference situation. They do play tomorrow night, ESPN. I really hope somebody could actually put forth a stronger effort outside of DeRozan and Lowry, because you know Tyronn Lue and you know the rest of that Cavaliers team is going to go to the drawing board and try to stop what they gave up, because DeRozan went off yesterday to try to slow this situation down. But Biombo, I tip my hat. I never thought that he would come up with a big game like that, knowing all of the odds are against him to be the guy on the floor, blocking shots, being the guy in the paint. Great stuff. Great stuff. I salute you, Biombo. But can you do it again? The second game, this is the pivotal situation. If you guys have more than five games in this series, this is another must-win game for us. If they lose this, which I feel like LeBron is going to come out and be a stud, I don't feel like they can survive in Cleveland. I don't feel like they can do it. They've been out of sync every time they go to Ohio. Every time they go there, they're out of sync.
I just can't believe Patrick Patterson's not doing better than what he's doing. You know where he went to high school at, Ty?
No, I know he went to college. I know the Kentucky Wildcats.
He went to Huntington High School in Huntington, West Virginia. He was teammates with O.J. Mayo.
Oh, really?
Him and O.J. Mayo were teammates in Huntington High in West Virginia.
Interesting, because I actually, when he was on Kentucky, I met the Patterson family. They had a tournament in the garden, and I was in the airport with them. So I met the Patterson family, and they're real cool people. But it's something about Patrick Patterson, and Sirius can attest to it. When he was in Houston, settling for jump shots, and him now being in Toronto, a big settling for jump shots. But, you know, luckily they got away from, Cleveland and pulled this one off. But he has post and paint play to him. I guess they leave the opportunity for DeRozan and Lowry to get to the paint and, try and penetrate as best as they can and finish at the rim or kick to him on the outside to knock down open shots, which he's come up with a strong belief in knocking down that shot. But I don't know, man. I feel like Patterson could definitely do more while he's out there on the floor. Sirius, you know about him being a part of that Rockets team. I mean, your thoughts on Patterson, if he can provide more for this Raptor team as they move forward?
You know, I mean, he's extremely streaky. You know, I mean, knowing him from when he played here, you know, with Houston, and watching him over the course of the rest of his career, you know, he's a guy that can go for, 15, 16, give you solid minutes, play solid defense, and then the next night he's MIA from the stat sheet. You know, so he's extremely streaky. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yesterday he played exceptionally good basketball, but where was he the first two games of the series? You know, and again, how you alluded to it, I mean, they really can't count on him, you know, to give you solid, productive minutes. You know, whether he's coming off the bench, whether he's starting like he did, you know, game one and, you know, the previous, you know, couple of rounds of the playoffs. When, you know, I don't think insert Luis Sola, again, somebody else who I have, you know, familiarity with being a Houston Rockets, you know, guy. And put Luis Sola, you know, I'm not too sure that's, you know, a winning formula, because again, he's another guy who doesn't really play to, you know, back to the rim and give you big winning minutes. He's a guy who's kick and pop and you know, is a shooter. So you have two of the same type of guys playing the same position. You know, Patrick Patterson and Luis Sola love to pick and pop. They love to settle for that mid-range jump shot. And the only difference to Patrick Patterson and Luis Sola is Patrick Patterson can take you out to the three-point line and, you know, shoot out there. And if he's on, you know, he gives you an extra added weapon. But if he's there, damn, he's all bad. And that's the same situation with the Minnesota. So I guess Donald Chinas, you know, coming back, you know, will provide significant, you know, big minutes for the Toronto Raptors, because, again, you're not getting that from the Minnesota or Patrick Patterson. So, the answer to the question is both men are extremely streaky. You got to hope and pray, you know, that one of them or both of them are on that specific day to, you know, get those minutes and get the production that you need from both men.
The one thing I worry about is knowing that they're going to go back to the tape and try to figure things out. Who else steps up for this Raptor team to try and be successful? Because you already know the likes of Lowry and DeRozan kind of cancel out with Irving and LeBron and the effort that they're going to get. But what from the others, at least for the Raptors, because there's others on that Cleveland Cavalier team. You can look at JR. JR's playing great ball. But as much as, you know, you had guys come in the kitchen and try to slam JR's name, JR's been playing exceptionally well for this team. At least on Toronto's side, who do you think could actually step up outside of, you know, and Biyombo, I hope he's as consistent as can be, but I feel like they're going to try and neutralize him and make somebody else beat him. Tommy, if you could come up with somebody, whether it be Patrick Patterson, do you think he could play another consistent game? Or just like Sirius said, and I actually forgot that Scola was down there in Houston also. Could Scola come up with a big game? Do you think it's somebody else that's on that bench could actually help out and do work to try and notch this thing up at 2-2?
It has to be a team effort. They're not match up with Cleveland. They don't have it. They lose every matchup. So it has to be a team effort. And they have to hope that LeBron, Kyrie, J.R. Smith is off. Then they may have a chance. If not, it's over. It will be a blowout like the first two games were.
I'm going to say this. If they can actually give Kyrie leeway to keep driving and try to finish at the rim, don't let him finish at the rim like nobody contesting the layup. Like, let him think that he could get there. I think they got an opportunity to steal game four, though, because Kyrie loves to try and take over. Like that's the one thing. With LeBron there or not, like, Kyrie will take those shots. Even though those are makeable for him, I'd rather watch Kyrie try to, you know, play hero ball. I would. I would rather watch that happen. Instead of him shooting threes, because his shot is electric. His jumper's electric. If he's on, you don't want to see that happening. I'd rather watch him force his way in the lane, get contested at the rim by the bigs, like Biyombo with blocking shots, things of that nature. They have a recipe. Hopefully they can stick to it. If there's anybody else that you see that could actually step up and help this Raptor team outside of the notable all-star?
You know, man, it has to be, I agree with Tommy, it has to be a team effort. But that bench, you know, really has to come in and give significant minutes. I'm talking about Joseph. I'm talking about Ross. I'm talking about your 10-foot towel, you know, the bench for the Toronto Raptors who legitimately have to, you know, come in and drop maybe 25, 30 points, you know, however way they can get it. You know, Joseph played exceptionally well yesterday. You really have to come in and play significant minutes coming from their bench. You have to, I mean, Dawson is honestly the best Toronto Raptor in uniform this whole series. I mean, his mid-range game is electric. I mean, from game one, you know, this man came out first quarter, hit him with 12 points, you know. Kyle Lowry's been lost literally MIA in Cleveland. I mean, this dude had 9 points game one, 7 points game two. He had an okay game yesterday. You know, so, again, is it just home cooking for Kyle Lowry? Who knows? But that bench literally has to come in. You have to win your individual matchup. Joseph has to be better than Dellavedova. You know, Ross has to be better than Richard Jefferson. You really have to defensively neutralize, you know, Fry. You have to neutralize the Cleveland Cavaliers bench. And, you know, if you have to look at the fact that, okay, LeBron's going to be LeBron, Kyrie's going to be Kyrie, but those boys do get tired. Who from the Toronto Raptors bench comes in and gives me 15? Who from the Toronto Raptors bench comes in and takes the significant charge and gets somebody in foul trouble? Who from the Toronto Raptors bench, you know, takes a technical foul and does the intangible thing, you know, to get into the head of a J.R. Smith, who gets into the head of a Kyle Lowry, you know, who gets into the head of a, you know, Kyrie Irving or whatever it may be. You know, those things have to happen for the Toronto Raptors. And we'll see what happens tomorrow in game four, because they're energized out. They're saying that they can play with these boys. You know, you got Jimmy Drake posting, you know, shots on LeBron's and Instagram. So you have to respond. You have to respond, because, I mean, as much as I've seen it, the post, the team will come out with the post too. LeBron James follows Jimmy Drake on Instagram, so I know who's seen it. People will come out and talk about the 40. You know, who gets into the head of the Cleveland Cavaliers? Who decides they're going to back up and having their balls to step up and be like, you know what, I'm going to be the rather successful. And it can't just be Kyle Lowry. It can't be just be DeMar DeRozan. I don't want to tell me. It has to be a team effort. Who does that?
I know this. Lowry, he can't. And one thing about the series that he had against Miami, he had them all games, but he did play big in Miami two times. So he has the capability of getting it done, but he didn't have a big-name point guard in front of him like Kyrie. So Kyrie is definitely pushing.
By the way, Kyle Lowry, another Houston Rocket native. Just throwing that out there. By the way.
I'm sorry. I'm not even doing this by any means to be funny. I'm just saying that if Lowry, you know, continues to play well, he's going to have to do something. I mean, 20 is decent. 20 is decent, but he's going to have to do that again. At least 20. I don't feel like putting, you need a 27-point night, you need a 30-point night to go alongside DeMar. Just being able to score and not get taken out of the game and being on the sideline looking like there's nothing he can do, that is going to be instrumental for the success for this Raptors team. I was going to say the Rockets. See, he got the Rockets in my head. I don't want to talk about those dudes. But anything else for this series before I move away from it? Okay, before I get to the Western Conference Final Game 3 situation that's going to take place today, I am going to talk about a topic that may rattle people or feel like I'm starting trouble, because I said I would go here during the Friday show at the roundtable. I said I would touch this topic, in which a player in college football that I love, I'm not even going to lie, the way that he played ball, I love him, and respected his father while he played in the NFL, but Christian McCaffrey comes out with a topic stating reverse. I don't know if we look at it as racism or dislike. I don't really want to say hatred, but things of that nature of him being a Caucasian athlete and him playing exceptional football and how people still look down at that, at him, I guess, not being athletic or not strong enough or not tall enough, things of that nature. Is it right? Do you feel like that there's smoke here or fire to lead into? Like I said, I was going to bring this up, And I respect Christian McCaffrey. I thought that he was potentially the one that was going to get it, the Heisman Trophy, because all of the work that he did, he broke Barry Sanders' record. But I'm going to put an asterisk because Barry only played 10 games and got them numbers. Just an asterisk. That's all. Barry only played 10 games and put them numbers up. But I'm biased. I'm a diehard Barry fan. But still, yeah, Christian McCaffrey broke that record, things of that nature. And I think he's more or less looking for the same credit or respect for what he brings to the game, regardless of the color of his skin. And I want to see how you guys feel about this. I knew I was going to bring this up, and this is definitely an interesting topic, at least to me. Just if you guys are interested in them, I want to see how you guys feel about this one. I'll come to you first, Tommy. Your thoughts on this situation with Christian McCaffrey?
In my book, he was the best running back in the NCAA college football last year. Dude had it all. He came out of nowhere, a Thursday night game, I believe it was against UCLA or it might have been Arizona State. If I'm not mistaken, he rushed for over 4,000 yards that game.
That was combined. That's combined. He didn't have 4,000 yards in the game. If he did that,
well,
then
400. Sorry, he had over 400 yards. He came at least close. I don't remember if he broke LaDainian Thomas's college football rushing in a single game, but I know he came awful close, and he broke some records during that game. I hollered, I chirped the whole college football season that this dude should have been Heisman Trophy winner. And if you remember, Ty, Chandler said he would have won the Heisman Trophy if he was not white. He kept saying that over and over and over. Now, do I think this is a whole racist thing or because he's white and everything? No. I just think it's where he plays college football at, Stanford.
That's true. That's
he won
true.
The Heisman Trophy winner. Henry. Where'd Henry go to school? Alabama. Roll Tide. Man, forget you all. You all better be shaking in the next couple of years. Because Mark Rick will turn that down there in South Beach. You all going to be, you all already losing recruits. But let's get back to topic. McCaffrey, in my book, is one of the top favorites this coming football season, college football season, to win the Heisman. Now, the only problem that I see with this is everybody's going to know McCaffrey's going to be the guy to stop because they lose a lot at Stanford. They lose the quarterback. They lose the wide receivers.
Yep.
But I don't really want to get into the whole race thing and everything because if people knew how I really was, yes, I'm white, but Ty, you know me more. You know me actually probably better than anybody. You know what side I would go for.
Right. But the reason why I bring it up, though, is it's in reverse. You see what I'm saying? And him having to see it is like what people had to live for centuries. You see what I'm saying? And a potential situation where he's talented, gifted, whatever you bring to the table, it's like, nah, that ain't good enough. Because we got another athlete that doing work in a different conference, and I don't think Tommy couldn't have said it no better. If McCaffrey was doing this in the SEC, then it'd be different. He's in the Pac-12 where everybody's averaging 40 points a game. Everybody.
Even to the Big Ten. If he was at Ohio State or at Michigan, he'd have got more respect than what he got.
Right. But him being in the Pac-10 where it's just basically everybody looks at that conference as offensive explosion, this is where people, you know, may hide or lie the situation for McCaffrey. Well, if he was doing it somewhere else. Because let's be honest, he was putting up big numbers all season long and threatening records of Reggie Bush. And Reggie Bush had that big game up against Fresno State his year down there. And McCaffrey was putting up those all-purpose yards, return game, running game, pass, you know, receiving things of that nature. I mean, you got to – for him to be a 5'2 player out there and his size, like looking at McCaffrey, he's what, every bit of what, 5'10", 5'9"? Like, I feel like I'm giving him height. Like, I want to look him up and talk about how tall he may be. I mean, he's cut, no doubt, but he's a small guy and getting it done, like war done, you know. Talking about small guys out there doing work on the football field, but I really feel like for him to talk about this on an open stage, it could help the environment of everybody to stop that madness. And Tommy, I didn't want to talk about this like, oh, racism, that. I'm looking at it like, man, it needs to stop across the board. Across the board, you got somebody that's talking about it that ain't nobody gonna disrespect because his last name hold weight, the McCaffrey family hold weight, and I don't feel it's right. His father was held to the same standard. His father was held to the same standard playing with Denver. No, you can't have a white receiver. His father was burning dudes, and McCaffrey was burning dudes. Like serious, like same situation with his son in a sport where. I guess they look at it predominantly being African Americans at the specialty positions, like a Caucasian can't excel. That's not. I don't feel that's right. I feel like this was something that had legs, and I wanted to bring it to the kitchen. We do have Sirius back. Your thoughts on the situation presented by Christian McCaffrey, Heisman nominee, ton of potential talent, bringing up the situation of. His race being an issue at the position that he's at.
You know, again, I don't want to read too much into that. You know, I mean, we do live in 2016, and unfortunately, if I sneeze wrong, you know, and offend the wrong person, it's going to turn into this race riot and this race war. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, I'm not naive to think or to come on the radio or. You know, put on Facebook that race does not play a factor in decisions that are made, whether it be on the gridiron, and jobs and office, et cetera, et cetera. But having said all of that, if there was one arena where it really doesn't play a factor, it would be. In my opinion, athletics. And here's why. Last time I checked, Mr. McCaffrey, if you look at who's won the Heisman Trophy over the induction of the Heisman Trophy, there have been some non-African-American winners. So, for lack of a better phrase, shut the hell up. Go out there, play ball, you know, and if you win, you win. All you're doing right now, sir, is giving the radical racial dart throwers, and that's kind of what I call them, more ammo to throw darts at you. If you go out to here and you have a self-card game, they're giving the radical racial dart throwers more darts. You know, clearly, I think, you know, you could have won the Heisman Trophy last year. You had a hell of a year. And let's keep it 100. Unless you paid attention to Stanford football, not too many people knew who the heck you were. And yet you went out and did your thing quietly. And when you got on a public stage, you showed out, literally. You know, you're a front runner for the award this year. Shut up, go to the gym, work out, and go ball. You know what I'm saying? Your pops. Laid the paper for you. I mean, like Tom alluded to, your pops were killing Captain Denver. You know what I'm saying? Racial, you know, your race has very little to nothing to do with you winning the Heisman Trophy. You know, now if you're in, you know, blue collar America or whatever case may be, again, I'm not naive to say, you know, that it may play a factor in, you know, this, that, and the third. You know, and the reason why we have the Rooney Rule in effect. You know, is to give, you know, African-Americans and minorities, you know, equal share for interviews and things of that nature. However, if you play ball and you ball out, your race should have nothing to do with you winning the award. Just ask Sam Black or just ask Matt Leiner, you know. Just ask Marcus Mariota, who by chance is not an African-American. This man is Hawaiian. Hello. Shut up and play ball, brother.
See, that's what I knew it had legs in the kitchen. I knew it had legs. But there was something that both of you said just now in this discussion, that he is the forefront guy or probably one of the notables for the Heisman. Let's do it right now in May. Do you think he wins the Heisman Trophy, yes or no, this upcoming season?
Maybe.
I'll start
because
with,
like I said,
hey, wait,
just say maybe,
because I got a name that people are forgetting.
Don't say it.
You're trying to stop before I get there, because this is going to put an interesting. I'm going to say it before you even get there. I'm going to say it. The interesting comparison that I like at the position with him is him and Leonard Fournette. Fournette is back down there at LSU, and we've seen what the hell
somebody
that
dude was doing. What's he even talking about?
At the running back position? At the running back position?
No, quarterback.
But this is the interesting comparison of, where they try to draw the comparison of the race situation. Leonard Fournette
needs to get over Alabama's defense.
Right, that's one thing. Yeah, but not even that. Come on, Tommy, let's be real. If LSU had a passing game, like if they had five passing plays that worked, it would help. Like, they run 88% of the game. I'm putting nine people in the box, beat us. Like that was Saban was doing, and he couldn't get started. For perimeter, he couldn't do nothing. If LSU had a quarterback that could pass the ball, Jesus.
You want another running back? I can give you another running back. And he's in the SEC. Chubbs for Georgia.
I don't know. After that torn out ligament, that's going to be tough.
I don't know about that. That ligament's going to take at least, he's going to be back mid-season. I don't know about that one, homie. But to answer the question, I'm going to say this, on McCaffrey's behalf. If he comes out and has a season like he had a season ago, I honestly believe that he wins it because of the consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But If he comes down and doesn't have as superb of a season as he had a year ago, that literally opens the door for somebody else. Keep in mind, we had cats, talking about, Braxton Miller and, Ohio State Ezekiel Elliott and, getting the Heisman Trophy and this, that, and the third. And some cat, who we never even thought of, just came up and stole the show last year. You know what I'm saying? So, and, we're doing the same thing, preseason Heisman Trophy watch. And, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, we were on, the cookouts and this, that, and the third. And when we talked about college stuff, we had the, Heisman Trophy. First of all, I'm going to keep it 100. McCaffrey's name never even came up. Never even came up. He did his thing and went on and did his business. It's crazy with him, Tommy said it, I said it a minute ago, with him being the front runner, when the spotlight is on you, how well do you perform? Because now everyone's going to be scrutinizing McCaffrey's numbers, week in and week out, just like they did Fournette, because Fournette was the front runner last year. And he had those horrible weeks, he played, Alabama and had, 20-some-odd yards and, on 20-some-odd carries, and then he went out there and played Ole Miss, and Ole Miss shut him down, and this dude went from being the front runner to falling out of Heisman conversation, period. TCU quarterback, he started to get some clown and get some burn, and, Zeke Elliott, he got some, it changes with stuff. So now that the spotlight is on him, and, even more so now, that McCaffrey's came out and said what he had to say about race being a factor. Does he perform? I'm going to say this. Some people, watch for the occasion when the spotlight is on them. You got the name of McCaffrey, bro. Your name itself speaks volumes when it comes to the gridiron. I think your father put something in you. I think you'll come out and ball out, and get this award. and, you know, going to the league and, you know, see what you do, you know, in the draft next year. But at the end of the day, I think McCaffrey does want it.
Tommy, who was the quarterback that you had?
Brad Kaya. Watch, I'm telling you, Mark Rick has already came out and said he likes what he sees. I'm telling you, Brad Kaya, we are going to be dangerous in South Beach this year.
I talked to his mama personally, and I don't even talk to her because she's heavy, but I do. But no, seriously, no, seriously. I really do have a person-to-person relationship. She's a wonderful person outside of, you know, what everybody knows her for her most famous role. But, you know, we talk, and excellent lady, man. Excellent, man. But
I talk to her in Virginia Tech.
She's excellent. She's sweetheart.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God. It sit there and talk to me. I can talk about anything to her. I can talk about OKC with her, everything. She'll talk about everything. But it's like I try my best not to say Felicia to her at all. at all, but I'd be wanting to so bad. But she is a phenomenal person. Shout out to Angela. That's you know, shout out. Okay. So we are here at the tail end of the show. I do want to get into this matchup. For game three, which I'm at the edge of my seat. I try to soak up as much time so I could do this quickly and harmlessly in the kitchen. Your thoughts on the pivotal game three in which they are both locked up, Golden State visiting Oklahoma City, and the Thunder and the Raptors going – Thunder and the Warriors going at it. I mean, the stars are aligned. You can't get no more out of an epic matchup. I want to see how you guys feel about this game three tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. I'll come to you first, Tommy.
This is going to be a very good ball game. I'll check in on it. We already have already said earlier today in the show what I was going to be watching at 8 o'clock. This comes down to defensively for OKC, can they guard the three-point line and everything? I believe whoever wins this game wins the series. I really do. I mean, Cantor has to play some defense like he's been doing, hit the shots like he can. Adams can hit the boards. I like OKC's chances. But they have got to play physical with Steph. I think you find somebody that can do it, because I'm telling you, I've said it all year, you cannot let this man get comfortable. You play physical with him a little bit, show him that you're a little rough and everything, and get him out of his mindset. I think whoever wins this game, I'll go with OKC, they win this series.
Mr. Simmons, your thoughts on this game? Pivotal game. They are both locked up at 1-1.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, everybody here on Sports City and, you know, the various networks have broken this down, you know, pretty elaborately. I'm going to say this. OKC, in order for them to win tonight, they really have to guard against the spurts of Golden State. Keep in mind, that was a pretty much close ball game in game two. Steph Curry hit you with 13 points in literally 50-some-odd seconds. Literally. You know what I'm saying? So this is a quick-hit team. This is a team that really looks to expose different spurts of games. And in the blink of an eye, the lead that was once 4 is now 14, 15. And then, you know, Wells or Durant, you know, Deion Waiters really tried to take it upon themselves, you know, and try to single-handedly bring the team back. And then what happens is it's like you snuff out, you know, you choke out an opponent. And that's what Golden State tends to do. once Sparks or Clay, you know, goes on the little 9-0, you know, 11-0 spurts, the rest of the team is around that, and Draymond Green strips somebody out, you know, or, you know, a role player does something spectacular, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're tackled on the mat, game, set, match. If OKC can guard against that and keep it competitive and respond with a one themselves, now keep in mind, you know, KD can go on a run himself, you know what I'm saying? The point guard for OKC has been known to go on spurts himself and, you know, single-handedly, excuse me, keep his team in ball game. If OKC can respond with
the
a run themselves, don't get me started on this. I come out of church that I'm not being cursed on the radio by saying the name of that player. However, if the point guard for OKC can go ahead and go and neutralize the run that Golden State is going to inevitably do, this could be an interesting series. Then it comes down to fourth quarter, you know, execution. And, again, not to beat a dead horse, but OKC has not performed well in fourth quarters. So I'm not going to pick OKC to win the ball game. I do think Golden State finds a way to win this ball game. But, again, I do, you know, see them getting split. This series is going 7. It really is. You know, OKC has shown the ability to go on the road and win an Oracle. If you looked at the season series with these two teams, they've been pretty much tight-lipped and close to the vest, you know, without the spurts and without the mental breakdowns that both teams have shown the ability to have. Keep in mind, game one, it was the breakdown of Golden State that, you know, allowed, you know, the point guard from the Thunder to go on the run and, you know, get that game, you know, to the Thunder.
What's your point guard's name again?
I'm not talking about that. For me to say his name will constitute me saying bad words. And I'm trying to be angry today because today is Sunday. Fresh out of church, you know, I'm not cussing on the radio, but we all know the point guard's name. I'm not doing that. Praise Jesus. You know, hallelujah. You know, yes, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the evilness of saying the point guard's name.
Wow, yo, that is terrible, man. That is terrible stuff. Okay, I'm going to say it like this, and I hate to do this because that's my little – I call him my little twin because we share the same birthday. But if the Thunder want to win Game 3 and be successful in this series, I look at one person and one person only. And it's not Cantor. It's not Russ. It's not KD. It is Deion Waiters. If Deion Waiters shows up in this series, it can continue to give them more than 11 points. If he can give them more than 11 points, the Thunder have a legit shot every game to pull out a game. They can pull it out if he has an impact in these games. But he has to show up. He can't have those turnovers or missing layups at the rim. Those things can't. Deion Waiters has to be fully tuned in to everything because Russ and Steph cancel each other out. Klay and Durant cancel each other out. Draymond and I don't know, I could put Steven Adams because Steven Adams has actually been playing well ever since the last series up against San Antonio. They kind of cancel each other out. Deion Waiters has to kind of answer what Barbosa does. If he could actually do more than what Iguodala or Barbosa does or what Barnes does, I feel like the Thunder do have a legit shot. But the one thing that has helped them is to at least pull a game out of Oakland. They got one out of there. If they could get strong play out of Deion, I think this will inspire the remainder of the team. I do want to say Andre Roberson, but I can't really look at Dre to give them more than 6 points, and if Dre gives them 10 points, that's like Dennis Rodman. Like, that's a plus. Like, you're not beating the Bulls if Rodman had 10 points. If Rodman scored 10 and he had 20 rebounds, man, y'all could just go in the locker room and just put a score out. Just say whatever number you want because it's over. You know, so I feel the same way about the Thunder situation right now. Outside of the usual suspects for the Thunder to be successful, because like I said, all Golden State have to do is go out there and play their same basketball. Nothing needs to change. I mean, of course, things, you know, gift the gab, knowing that Steve Kerr probably got three tricks up his sleeve, knowing that everybody's locked and loaded to shoot because he was a shooter. That's why all four of them are locked and loaded to shoot, whether it's Draymond, whether it's Harrison Barnes. Iguodala hits the three with consistency. I'm not even going to talk about those two brothers. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they expected to do. They keep playing their ball. They threaten everybody on a night-by-night basis. If the Thunder could get Deion Waiters to be productive, to put up more than 11 points, I'm really looking for like a 17 or 19, but I feel like I'm pushing too far. But if Deion could be fruitful in helping the Thunder team win, I think every game they could threaten the Warriors night by night. Yeah, Sirius, you just got on the church. It can't say a brother's name. That's your brother through the man upstairs.
I'm not cussing the fresh out of church. You know, I pray for forgiveness for saying bad words when I talk to you on the phone. You know, me saying that man's name is a bad word. You know,
okay,
and I'm not doing it today.
What's his nickname, man? We'll do that.
Wiley Coyote Genius.
All right. I need a plug and close out for both of you before we set it down at the brunch. That dude is an idiot, man. I can't no more. All right. Sirius, I'll start with you. I'll let you proceed to your Sunday dinner after the brunch or whatever you're about to get into, man. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
Man, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to get in here. You know, with my schedule and everything, I don't get to come in like I used to, man, but that's always a good time when I get in the building. Definitely shout out to those who are battling this weather and doing what they need to do today. Again, I'm going to say this, you know, fellas, don't read too much into, you know, what happened yesterday with, you know, the Toronto Raptors winning the ball game. You know, don't believe the hype. You know, this is a superior ball club. You know, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I expect them to definitely do work and win this ball game. Looking forward to sitting down with the family watching the game tonight. I'm pretty sure should OKC win, I may get a phone call from a certain host. So I got to make sure my phone is charged up. But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. Definitely, well, one, I may be able to pop in here tomorrow. But, yo, man, your boy Sis has been fun, man. I'm out the speech. I'll be easy.
Now, Sirius, you haven't heard from me in a bit since this happened. Since they got to the Western Conference, I've been completely. I have not been started with anybody. I feel like I can change. There's a song called by John Legend called "I Can Change," and I think it needed to change. So I'm trying my best to leave people alone. I'm trying. So I tell the Lord to work on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not finished yet. You know what I'm saying? So I leave you be. You know. I just want you to say people's name, though. You don't talk about them indirectly, though. That's mean, man. It's just mean. Okay. Fair enough. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out as we get ready to shut the doors here on the brunch. Tommy, are you there?
My bad. I fought a nacho. I forgot I had it on mute. Good show. I'll be back tomorrow. Talk some college baseball. I want to congratulate the University of Miami Hurricanes winning the ACC, going 41-9. Got the number one seed in the ACC tournament. Well, let's go to Durham, North Carolina, and win it. Let's go, Canes. Bring that College World Series home.
As we usually do around this time, those are the World Series boys. I hope they can hang on to it, man. But we do have a mystique of shutting the door on people in that College World Series. I do. That's the only two teams in Miami I like: football, baseball, basketball. I'm a dog. I'm a Hoya, homie. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be back here tomorrow, Monday night, sport wrapping things up. Y'all come back here, man. It's going to be electric, man. Ooh, I can't wait, man. Edge of my seat type of basketball, man. It's here. It's here, man. I can't. This is the pivotal game. I can't dodge it any longer. On that note, Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
I'm feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning.
It's a Sports City Chef with Sunday the Brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
So kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours.